welcome to the first Og Camp.
Hang on, first?
Hold that thought. Yeah, sorry?
Yeah, yeah. Well, first.
Welcome to Og Camp.
All right, I'm sorry. Hello, everyone.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's see how today goes, but actually, there's quite a lot of people here.
I'm scared.
Yeah, ask them again at the end.
That's true. Before we go on, we should say who we all are.
Yeah. Oh, do we have to?
Are we not wearing names? Oh, I am. I hope he's got a name badge.
Yeah, I get you.
You've all got names.
Am I the only one without a name badge?
It is on the list of things we should say.
I haven't got a name badge.
No. Am I the only one without a name badge?
I haven't got one. Yeah.
Okay, so that's Tony.
Hi.
Alan.
Hello.
Laura.
Dan.
Fab.
I'm the grumpy old bloke.
Simon. There's one guy who's not here.
Yeah.
Who's Davey, or Dave Walker. From UUPC, and when I said there's good excuses, his is quite a good one. Yeah. He had a baby boy last night.
Wow.
Well, he didn't.
Awesome.
Yeah, that would have been pretty epic, as far as excuses go. His wife had a little baby boy last night, almost timed in sync with Og Camp, but not quite. But yeah, he's at home, healthy baby boy and wife. I think he's got no name yet. Right. Yeah, so just for Dave.
Who's
congratulations
to Dave.
So the first thing is, we want to say thank you to everyone who's come. This is much more people in here than we ever anticipated. We thought it would be us talking to the crew and nobody else at all. So a really big thank you.
Yeah.
And on the subject of the crew, a massive thank you to the crew for helping out and sorting everything out. So
big thanks to everyone who's helped out.
This wouldn't
all these guys over here, there's some over there, they're everywhere. Over there.
Where are they? Where is everyone?
Stand up and take a bow, wherever you are.
They get free mugs.
They're going to get mugged now.
They're going to get, sorry, not mugs, mugs. Yeah.
Oh, that's not what I thought you said.
Yeah, we haven't got yellow shirts. Maybe if this happened again, we might get t-shirts.
If? Oi.
2010!
Haven't we learned anything from yesterday?
Clearly not, no. Okay. I can't believe that's so many people. What are we going to do next? This is where my laptop failed, so... prizes for the raffle?
Yes. Yeah, we got the raffle.
So where is it?
I can tell you're all excited by the raffle.
How many tickets? Dave would be pleased to know. Dave 2.
I'm excited.
Dave
2. Buy any of the book, another book of tickets for the
is
raffle.
Dave 2 here? That up. He'd be super pleased that we got past 1,337 tickets.
Am I supposed to draw them, or are we just going to get people to draw them?
No, we're drawing them.
We're drawing them.
We're drawing them. So we'll take it in turn. Laura can draw one.
Get your tickets out, please.
Get your tickets out. And ready.
Lots of digging in pockets going on.
Drum roll, please.
We'll do that one first.
Go on then. And what's this one? This is a question for you lot.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to choose your prize, or are we going to tell you what prize this ticket is for?
Yeah?
Okay. All right. Okay, then.
So what's this one for? One of the hoodies?
This one's for a piece of paper.
With a number on it.
Yeah. You get to keep your ticket. That's the prize.
I think it should be for the Arduino.
Oh, right. Okay, Laura has spoken.
Okay.
It's for the Arduino.
This is for the Arduino. Arduino Mega. It's green, 437.
Oh!
No, it's not.
Thanks.
Oh, yeah. Hey,
we got the winner.
We got the winner.
Hey,
well done.
Hey.
Yeah, if you do win, you might be better off going round the side there to get your prize.
What's your name, sir? Arvidas, congratulations.
Congratulations.
Make something fantastic.
Popey, do the honours.
There's a mirror.
I'm not looking, I'm not drawing it.
Okay. Well, it's green.
What's it for?
It's for, there's a book of it, it's a book, okay? And the number is...
No, it's not. This is the Vim book.
This is a book.
Yeah. Donated by Livlog, I have to keep saying that.
The number is Liverpool Log, that book. 404, prize not found.
Yeah. Give the man a book.
No, we've got a special prize for Johnny.
He's had trouble finding a decent book lately. Sorry.
It's a copy of Art of the Community and Vi for you.
Yeah. All right. I'll draw the next one, I think, and that should be
I'll
for
hold
the.
It, go on. I don't know what.
This will be for the. I'm not looking. This will be for the Linus Torvalds signed programme thing that I ripped up half in my bag on the way home, but I promise you it's genuine. First orange ticket, so all you orange people. 341, anyone? Anyone want to claim that?
341?
Yeah, there's the one there. There we go.
There we go.
Cherish that. It's signed by Linus Torvalds.
Reluctantly.
Loads Greg of other Pro people Harman. As well.
Yeah. What's your name, sir?
Marshall.
Marshall, congratulations. Hey,
yep. Good man. So, Fab, are you going to pull one out? Add a ticket?
and then draw the raffle, yeah.
So what price is that for?
Well, oh, you could choose.
You can choose. Heck.
I'm going to take a Vigilant.
No, this is for you to give away. You're not taking.
Okay, then I'm giving away.
Excellent.
It's orange 933.
No? Anyone? Orange 933?
Yeah.
My God, how many tickets
one of the crews, wasn't it? Is that legal?
Mate, you've bought a Viglin there.
In tickets.
Are we allowing that? The crew can win, yeah?
Of course we can.
Well, we didn't say no.
So,
when we took his
someone
money.
Someone sold him the tickets. So, like, whoever sold him the tickets, basically, wasn't bothered.
I think he sold him the tickets.
You're implying there's a whole load more decision-making process behind this than there was.
Cherish that.
It was only in mid-afternoon we realised we were going to have to rip up all the tickets to put them in a bucket.
I know.
Simon.
Right, I want one of those Oggio bags. Cool. Orange.
Oh.
7. One.
Ooh.
4.
714. 714. Orange 714. Anyone?
Come in number 714.
Oh.
No.
Is there an email address on the back?
No. This is bound to happen. So what do we do? Do we put this back in?
Well, no point putting it back in because
we're going to put it back in. We draw it out again.
Dory.
Yeah. Pick again.
Go on. Draw again.
Got it. But not yours.
Not an orange. Ginger one.
This one's got a name on the back. 228. Orange.
228. Orange. Anyone?
Yeah. Dick Turpin.
Oh, that's Pete Cannon. It's Pete Cannon. Well, we know he was here to lose.
Oh, he didn't say what prize he was going to get.
I'll be taking
it. He did. He wanted a Viglin, but he's not getting one. He's getting whatever you pick, the bag.
Yeah, I'll get it back. Congratulations, Peter. You've got a big bag.
Now, he's a vehement anti-Ubuntu pro Arch Linux person, so an Ubuntu Ogre bag is absolutely perfect.
Just what he's always wanted.
Perfect.
Yeah, we'll put a book in it.
Put the book in it.
Excellent.
Awesome. Look, Tony, I think it's my turn to draw.
What's it for, Tony?
Before you draw it?
It is for one of the hoodies. There's like two different sizes, so you can choose which size.
Two large and one extra large.
Okay. It's an orange one. Sorry, green fans. Oh, 216.
Anyone? Orange.
There's no name on the back, is it?
There is no name.
Dick Turpin.
Orange 216. Yeah, we got
it at the back. Excellent. Well done. Come up and find a hoodie of a.
Are we going back round again or back from this end?
How many more prizes have
we got? I'll just keep going. I'm a beer all day at this rate.
Yeah, keep going.
Let's just keep going.
2-hour podcast. Yeah, that's what you guys do all the time, isn't it?
It is as well.
Right, green ticket, 136.
Green 136, anyone? What's it for?
It's Ron!
Big Ron!
Oh, you didn't say what it was for.
Ron, pick it yourself, mate.
Excellent.
Okay.
What are you picking? What?
What's this for? Hang on, you can't really tell until Ron picks what he's having. Otherwise, there'll be a bun fight by the prizes.
We'll be here.
I would quite like to see that.
Need buns.
In your own time, Ron.
Anyway, yeah.
It's green.
We're all waiting for you, don't we?
There's a mirror behind you.
He's going for the Viglin. Congratulations.
Oh, what a Ron.
Good prize.
So what's left? We've got
a couple of bags
and two hoodies.
Okay, I'm going to take a laptop bag, and it's green, 172.
Green, 172. Anyone?
Yay! Yay! Yes.
Okay. What are we going for? Another bag or a hoodie? Go for a hoodie. It's hoodie time, isn't it?
It's hoodie time. 69.
Everyone's favourite number.
Do we have to cut that out?
Don't want it. 69? Sorry.
Orange.
I could see that. I don't know why you.
Hooray! Congratulations. So we're down to one bag and one hoodie.
One bag and one hoodie. We may as well give the other hoodie away first.
So it's green. Sorry, it's not green. I can't see. It's not green. It looks green
Fail.
For me. It's orange 673. Anyone? 673.
Ah, congratulations, M. Green.
Excellent. Laura, I think Laura needs to draw one there.
And last but definitely not least is the last bag. As modelled by Anna.
Please be a Fedora fan. Please be a Fedora fan. Go on, John.
It's green. Four. One. Three.
Isn't that the same person who won before?
Yeah.
No, that's
yay!
Not. It's Laura Jones. Congratulations, Laura.
Excellent. Thanks to everyone for buying tickets in the raffle.
Yes.
Stopping us from going bust.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Microsoft t-shirt.
Oh yeah, we have got.
Even though we're not sponsored by Microsoft.
That's a kind of
well,
prize.
Yeah,
where did we get that from?
I wanted to burn
what,
it, but
you might call
mine.
The wooden spoon prize. I guess.
Throw it at the audience.
Yes, that's a good idea.
Come to OddCamp and get a Microsoft t-shirt thrown at you.
It's actually quite.
It's quite
cool.
Nice, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, well, does it say Microsoft?
It does say Microsoft.
It does say
very.
But we do have black marker pens over there. So.
Yeah. Okay, so who's going to draw this? Poby,
go on, Al.
I'm not going to draw that.
Yeah, I feel tarnished.
Won't even touch
ticket
a
out.
Ticket that is related to
it.
Everyone's screwed.
Green.
It's
green.
God. 29.
Nobody's going to claim it.
Oh. Nobody wants it. Nobody wants it. Sorry, did I hear someone say burn it? I said burn it. I said we should burn it on stage.
We're going to stand here all day until somebody claims it.
Yeah.
The doors
God,
are locked.
Grab another one out. Nobody wants it.
Does anybody actually want it? Stick your hand up.
let's move on.
Yeah.
That's like yesterday asking for a Windows laptop in a Linux conference.
Yeah.
All right, well, I've pulled this one out.
Ticket.
Right. So you might as well.
So you've got to take this home.
256.
Ooh, the number is
orange. Orange 256.
Yeah.
You are kidding.
Nobody wants it. They've all good. Ripped up the tickets after we said this is the end. Everyone went.
The gentleman there is waving his hand. He will accept it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
What a man.
I don't know what he's going to do with it.
He's a brave man.
There was some coffee spilled down there earlier, so.
Oh, easy. Wait till we get in the car park to do that.
So we have something else to talk about.
We do.
Yeah, is this... Oh, okay. Yeah. So he's got my name on the sheet, so I suppose I've got to talk about this.
Hi,
yeah,
Tim.
We were going to have a bit of a discussion about a couple of subjects, and one of the ones that I wanted to talk about was something that I deal with a lot, but I think people don't really talk about. It's media production and, well, from my point of view, sound production on Linux, and I think it could be... I don't know. I think it could be easier, and... It's kind of like the elephant in the room, because when I talk to musicians, all they say is, like, I need a Mac to do music, or I need Windows to do music. And I think at this stage in the development of Linux, shouldn't we be a bit further along with that? So, comment.
Well, we do use Linux. You know, we use
Linux.
Well,
we do, yeah, but...
So, you know...
Yeah, but we're not really professional, are we?
Hush your mouth!
I mean, come on.
Currently, we're using a piece of paper.
Yeah, we're using a piece of paper. That shows our level.
Yeah, there's a bit of truth to that.
So, is there anyone in the audience that does any media creation on Linux?
Or
of
just
any
want,
kind?
Or just wants to edit their own home videos?
Where's the radio mic on?
There is a radio mic. Exactly.
Over there. Yeah, radio mic's there, if anyone wants to comment.
Okay. Run.
Put your hand up again.
Gordon, over here by the door.
Someone at the front. Yeah. Might be able to pass it along, maybe. Okay. Might be quicker. There we go.
So, Gordon, what is it that you do? What do you use? What problems have you found?
Well, I use Ardour, and I use a couple of different soft synths. There's a serious dearth of soft synths in Linux. You have got things like the... I can't remember the name now. There's now a project that's basically a redistributable clean room implementation of the VST headers. So you can now write things like VST hosts to run VST plugins under Wine. But they're horrible.
Wine. Under Wine?
Effectively under Wine, using Wine libs and some other bits and pieces.
With Ardour?
With Ardour, yeah.
For anyone who doesn't know, VST plugins are basically like the industry standard for sound plugins, virtual instruments and stuff like that.
Yeah. But there is a certain lack of polish. Ardour is probably one of the nicest Linux applications of any kind. out there. I know that's a bit of a big thing to say, but it has had an awful lot of eyeballs. It's had a lot of investment from companies like Mackie and Harrison, SSL, who made, you know, they've been making digital mixing desks for 20-odd years. A lot of money, a lot of time and effort into it. It's very, very solid. I use it for making really, really hideous and unlistenable electronic music.
Wow. Okay. The thing, I love Ardo, but the thing is, right, I mean, it's a great program and, you know, they're working really hard on it, but it does, it's only just started to do MIDI, and we're like, what year are we in? You know, it's like, everything else has been doing MIDI for ages. You have to run Rose Garden or something else in conjunction to do MIDI with your audio and stuff. And I know they've been bringing that in, but it's been a long time, and it still seems a little bit...
It's still a little ways off.
Pace, yeah.
It is a little way off, but you can use Jack to synchronize another Jack-capable MIDI sequencer. Mm. One of the things it doesn't do, and one of the things I got really, really upset with it about, was that you can't, as you can with Cubase, what you can't do is you can't cut an audio track and then glue the ends together. Mm. So you can sort of slide the whole thing as a cohesive unit. And when I was cutting Hashlug Radio, that was a complete pain in the hindmost, because you'd have to select the entire track to move. If you wanted to move something in the timeline, you either needed to bounce it onto another track or select the whole thing.
So if that's a kind of relatively good story with Ardor-ish.
As a success story, you mean?
As rather than glass half full kind of thing.
Yeah.
No, I'm thinking he uses it.
Yeah, exactly.
Therefore, it's a good story, because I asked if anyone used
it. He said he makes horrible, unlistable electronic music, though.
Well, yeah,
I can't help it.
That was your review, not mine.
But are there any other tools that people use for creation? Not just audio, but...
Imran?
Video is a big thing as well.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I was doing the Lug Radio documentary, some of you may have seen tomorrow, and I couldn't have done it 2 years
tomorrow?
Ago. So yesterday. Sorry.
It's
been quite a long weekend, yeah. some of you may have seen yesterday. And I couldn't have done it 2 years ago, because there wasn't a multi-track video editor that was reliable and featureful on Linux. And it's only in the last year or so that things have really started to flesh out, and they're still a bit crashy and not fantastic. But it's progress, but it's so slow, such a slow progress, and it's so far behind the Mac and Windows offerings. Sorry, Imran.
Yeah, I use GIMP for occasional sort of image editing. And there was something on the Ubuntu podcast, your podcast, about the name GIMP being maybe holding that back. I'm reframing the question a bit, but in Adobe you've got products with cool-sounding names like Photoshop and Lightroom, and you know, I think the GIMP should be renamed. Perhaps that would be, I mean, it's a cool, really good bit of software, but yeah. I just wanted to just mention that I'm using GIMP and name.
Matthew Paul Thomas's talk yesterday, he was talking about you shouldn't let geeks name
programs.
It's just because they come up with dumb names like that. You know, I'm not saying GIMP is a dumb name, but arguably for some people it will be considered as, you know, interesting, a leather, you know.
Well, if you're trying to say, oh, there's this software on Linux and it's called GIMP to someone who is non-technical and knows what that word means, you know, it's a bit, you might feel a bit uncomfortable.
But the fact is that it works. So it is a tool you could use on Linux.
Yeah, but it's put as the only graphics package pretty much on Linux, and I hate using it. But it's the only thing I've got.
Well,
it's Inkscape. It's like using Adobe Photoshop, which I don't want to use a lot of that. I just want to be able to crop images, do little bits of annotation.
Draw a rectangle.
It depends what you
draw a rectangle, which you cannot do in GIMP.
That's what Inkscape is.
Inkscape.
There was some fantastic drawings done yesterday with GIMP.
Yeah, by an artist, a professional artist.
Chris, whatever product you're used to. I mean, he's obviously using it.
No, but he uses professional level products because he is a professional artist, and he.
Why do we ask him?
He's shaking his head.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. He's a very good artist.
Let's speak to Chris. John has his hand up. We'll come to him in a minute. But if you pass the mic back to Chris.
Who's got it?
Keep going all the way.
We want that mic back at the end.
He's got to go back to tell us that wasn't GIMP yesterday.
So Chris, what is it that you use? What tools do you find useful? Where are the sticking points?
Well. To be honest, I'm most comfortable with Inkscape. GIMP's quite good. There's a lot in the GIMP. I wouldn't necessarily say its name particularly holds it back. I mean, and you talk to a lot of people who do use graphics creation products, and most of them do tend to have heard of the GIMP because a lot of people are using it. And they might not use it, but it's, you know, people talk about it, so it's at the point where at least people know of it. And because it's got such an unusual name, in some ways.
But is it really that many people who know about it, or just the people that we know about it?
No, I know quite a lot of people who, you know, aren't at all into Linux, and, you know, they mostly use, well, pretty much entirely use Photoshop, and they've heard of the GIMP. Not even people that are particularly into graphics, especially, but just do some of that sort of stuff. And I think possibly because it's got such an ear-catching name, that possibly helps in that way. I'd argue that there aren't many many pieces of software out there for doing stuff like, what you know, things like Photoshop or Paint. There are plenty of pieces of software like that for Linux. If you want to do anything particularly, if you really need something like Photoshop, the GIMP is probably your best bet, and it's getting a lot better. But for other things, you've got Paint.net, and I think that's the one, MyPaint, something like that.
These
got
online versions
of Krita, I think one of them might have been. But yeah, there are plenty of things on Linux that you can do that aren't as hardcore as the GIMP is, are a lot more usable than the GIMP.
Okay.
It's hardcore.
less hardcore than
the GIMP. Yeah, there's plenty out there. And for most things, people tend to... And for a lot of things, people tend to get on better with Inkscape anyhow, so there's always that to fall back on, which is both really useful if you're doing fairly high-end stuff, although you might want to start doing vet stuff in Blender if you're crazy. It's something that I'm dabbling with. But for most things, it's a good tool that even a beginner can pick up quite easily, Inkscape. It's right. Something that makes sense generally, but you can take those base skills and learn a hell of a lot into it and do some great stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not a professional artist. No, I might be one these days, but...
Yeah. Okay, well, you should be,
if you're not.
Yeah.
Well, anyone else agree, you should be a professional artist. He's got...
yeah. Did you use Inkscape to do the logos?
Yes.
The OddCamp logo?
Yes.
Is that what you use all the time?
I use Inkscape a lot, yeah. I use GIMP for photo editing. But for anything like a logo or something, it's just because it's, you know, it's vector graphics, which is really good for a logo, you know, can resize it and stuff. And I really like Inkscape. It's an awesome program. It's really good. Cool. I think it's better than Illustrator.
Mm. Okay, Jono was waving his hand in the air. He makes horrible music as well.
On a Mac.
Yes, indeed.
On a Mac, yeah. On a Mac. Right, start the clock. How long till he mentions Jacosha?
Or the community? Jacosha. community. Jacosha community. Axe sucks.
He's got a microphone again.
So I think going back to music, it strikes me that the problem is broken into two areas. One is features, like Dan says. You've got things like, you know, if you want to do, like, the thing that's held me back from Ardour is, apart from the fact that I think it's incredibly hard to use, is the fact that it doesn't have MIDI, and I need MIDI for drums and things like that. And that's getting better, you know. I mean, Ardour's an incredibly featureful project, and also people should donate money to the guy who works in it, because he works in it full time.
Yeah,
and he's always short of cash, and he's a really nice guy. So if anyone wants to support this, donate him some money. But the other thing that strikes me, the big problem with Linux has been integration, because, you know, you've got Jack, and you've got hardware devices, and you've got MIDI frameworks, and you've got the application, all these different bits and pieces, and the problem traditionally was the fact that none of them really spoke to each other very well. And part of the reason why it was so hard is because you had to know how to run Jack, and, you know, how to make it talk to your card, and how ALSA works, and all this kind of stuff. And it reminds me of 10 years ago with the desktop, where X didn't really talk to GNOME or KDE very well, and devices didn't work. You still had to manually mount a floppy disk. And I get the impression it's getting better because of that, because things are starting to talk to each other more. And maybe that's where things will get better. So I think part of it is like distros making it better.
I mean, Ubuntu has the Ubuntu Studio derivative.
Yeah.
Does anybody know of any distros that are helping media creation directly by supporting particular projects or anything? I don't know if you know them.
There's other music distros. There's
Studio 64.
Studio 64 Musics.
Yeah. There's Dynevolic.
Aren't they basically just packaging up the software that's already there?
I don't think they're backed by a big organization. I think, again, they're... usually just one or two people, small community.
And one final comment. When we started doing Shot of Jack, we thought, let's use Jacosha, right? And we actually did use it. We recorded separately. Ack recorded on his machine, like, using this horrible Skype recording workaround thing. I recorded in Cubase. But we
double whammy, proprietary software, proprietary on both ends.
Because I don't have freedom like you do.
No, but he works in Ubuntu One. just kidding. No, but seriously though, we you know, I imported the audio into Jocotion, mixed it, and everything was fine. And we actually have one of the shows which has been done in Jocotion. The problem, the reason why we're not going to stick with it, is because compression isn't very good on Linux. That's the only thing that's holding us back. If there was a good compressor, and Dan, maybe you know of a good compressor.
What's the one we use in Ardour?
Yeah, the SC4 thing, yeah. Steve Harris does, which is an Ardour LADSPA.
One of the LADSPA plugins.
And the new version of Audacity as well, they've done something with the compressor plugin in there, because it used to be god-awful.
Because in Cubase...
I think it's 1.3.8 right. or something like that. I went on it and I thought I'll give a go on the compressor just to see if it's got any good. And it's a lot better.
When it doesn't crash.
In Cubase, yeah. I add a compressor to the track, and then I select vocal, and that's it.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas in Jocotion, I have like a million buttons. Well, that's the integration thing.
I'm glad that we can help these startup podcasts with advice. But I think it's probably time to move on to our next segment now.
What people say to me when I ask them, like, you know, what's the problem with, say, sound on Linux and stuff like that, is that everybody wants to do their own sound system. And what people say to me is, programmers inherently think that they know better than everyone else. So when they come and they need a sound system, they're not going to use the existing one. They're like, I can write a better one. So they'll write a better one. And we end up with loads of them, and they're not really, any of them aren't really finished. And if we concentrated our efforts a bit, in some ways it might be finished. And it links into the point that Popey wanted to talk about more generally.
I'm going to get a kicking for this. The other morning there was a bit where the BBC showed Ubuntu very quickly, very briefly, and there was a whole blog back and forth between a couple of people, me included, and it got me thinking that the guy on telly showed one distro and he just mentioned it, just showed a screenshot of the website. In fact, he didn't even show the distro, he just showed a screenshot of the website and he mentioned Ubuntu, and I thought, well, hang on, Ubuntu is just one distro. And I looked on Wikipedia and there's a page, list of Linux distributions. There's 200 of them, over 200 Linux distributions. And we're all completely fragmented, all using whatever distro we use. And I know probably more than 10 different distros being used in this room. Are we spreading ourselves too thin? Should we be focusing our attention on one distro or one family of distros, or should we be concentrating rather than spreading ourselves too thin? That was the question.
Okay, and...
And we had an instant yes from a few people in the middle of it.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Fedora it is.
I wasn't intending saying which one it was. I just the general, are we spreading ourselves too thin?
Well, I don't think so.
There's a couple of hands up at the back, if we can get the radio mic down there.
Mm-hmm.
My point is I don't think so. I think it's good that we have more distributions. For one thing, you know, if I run the new Ubuntu and I do something with Pulse Audio and it totally hoses my system and I can't record anything anymore.
This is a hypothetical, isn't it?
Yes. Not that had ever happened before.
You found a bug.
I could just, you know, get a Fedora CD, install that, and hopefully they did something different, and then I could use that. So
but then you've got like 10 different distros, all broken in different small ways, rather than one distro that's
and
broken.
And that being totally broken.
Well, yeah, I just think if all that attention was focused on one of them, get one working really, really well, rather than all of them broken in lots of tiny different ways.
Presumably by one, you mean Ubuntu.
No, I don't care which one it is. Focus on one.
I agree.
Says, well, no, I happen to
says Popey from the Ubuntu UK podcast.
And a community council. No, we should. It should be one distro. But I mean, we're all geeks. We can all pick up on the little packages that we want to use. If I want to use OpenBox, I'll use OpenBox. If I want to use GNOME, I'll use that. It should be one distro. If you want something different, then you get that app and you use it.
But are the distros a good analogy to things like sound, which just don't work? Whereas distros, there are good ones, people quite happy using them, and it's not, I mean, Ubuntu's a good example, but not just saying that. But you can get it on a netbook and your parents can buy it and they're not interested in free software or anything, they'll just use it.
They just want it to work.
I don't think audio's got that far.
Yeah, and I think
and the frustrating thing is that you try one, it breaks. You try another, it breaks.
Mm. Okay, we've got a comment at the back of the room.
Yep. Flick the switch.
Yeah, that's
audio
better.
Problem,
yeah.
Not Ubuntu.
For once.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I think it's good that we've got the range of distributions that we do.
Just
because
talk into the mic a bit.
Sorry.
Before. That's better.
That it drives competition where maybe Fedora wants to get one up on Ubuntu, Ubuntu want to get one up on Fedora, and we're getting a lot of good stuff out of it. Where I think we're falling down is where we get 100 different variations because we want a different color theme. Maybe we don't want brown Ubuntu.
Or a different language, maybe. You see a lot of different... Well, I mean, I don't know.
If you look at the Wikipedia page, it's called List of Linux Distributions. It's grouped into the ones that are based on Deb-based systems and the ones that are based on RPM or, you know, Debian and Red Hat, basically. And some of them are, you know, the same thing but with a different colour scheme or the same thing with a few different apps in. And, okay, that's useful for a very small set of people. But, you know, some of them are really popular, like Linux Mint. You know, it's basically Ubuntu with a few extra packages and a theme, but it's useful for some certain sect of people.
But isn't it like when it's useful for one person, isn't that like a reason for the distribution being there?
Is it a reason for everyone to spread themselves so thin because it's useful for one person?
But if it is only useful for one person, then only one person is going to worry about it and nobody else will.
I think I would never want to take away the freedom that we have to go and, you know, make our own thing.
Yeah, but you keep the freedom. You know, we want to essentially dominate the world. Yeah. And you're only going to do that when you can go to the shop and buy a desktop with Ubuntu on it.
Yeah, but some people don't want to dominate the world.
Yeah, I don't
want
to.
They just want us to carry on using it and stop everyone else.
I just want Pulse Audio to work.
Okay.
Like, don't care about the world.
There's a few people wanting to make comments. Have we got where's the radio?
Yeah, it's there.
Oh, it's there.
For years and years before Linux came along, one group of people were concentrating solely on Unix. And that was nowhere near as good as Linux is these days for the desktop. You've also had Microsoft continually focusing their effort on One OS. That hasn't worked. You know, what is the problem with having lots of different choice?
Hasn't worked in what measure?
Windows is still awful.
Oh, yeah, it's awful, but if you measure it by a number of people who use it and the amount of money it turns the company over, it's worked quite well, thanks very much, in Money in the Bank.
Yeah, but we want an OS that works, not an OS that makes money.
Sure, yeah.
Sorry. That got something hand on.
Can you wait for the mic? Where is it?
Okay, yeah, sorry, John, and then we'll come to the noisy boys in the middle.
The OS isn't what makes the money for Microsoft, it's the applications that do. I think it's something like 50 to 1 on the cost. It's a random figure, but it's a lot. It's a big difference between how much money the OS makes for Microsoft and how much money Microsoft Office makes.
Yeah, but one begats the other. You can't run Office easily on Ubuntu or Fedora or whatever.
Yeah, but you could run Office on Mac for ages, and you can't anymore, but
it's still a fairly small proportion of the people.
True, I accept that. Yeah. I'll pass the mic on to someone else.
Okay, yeah. Was it Chris had his hand up?
Yeah.
There's a comment on Twitter.
Oh, is there? A sensible one.
Yeah. They're using it properly.
Someone suggesting we have Satanic Ubuntu as the main one.
No, there's a good point from Binary Life that I think the point is about not saying extreme one or the other. It doesn't have to be that you can have millions and millions or you can only have one. It's about just having a bit of variety but not spreading yourself too thin. Yeah. So suggest 10.
My point is, surely you're solving fundamentally different questions. Like, Ubuntu, really good for desktop, but, you know, you spend all your time worrying about what shade of brown it should be. And frankly, I don't care. You know,
who worries about what shade of brown it is?
Ubuntu, in general.
No, I think everyone
else does. I'm a Fedora user.
Everyone else worries about what shade of brown it is.
But you worry about the desktop. You worry, that's all you, all Ubuntu.
And the server.
Okay, this is
hold
a good
on a minute.
Point.
It's 10
okay.
To look radio.
Yeah.
Yeah, but a huge number of those that list of Linux distributions are desktop distributions.
Yeah, fine. I don't care. I'm a server person. I use server distros. I'm not going to use a desktop distro for a server application. in the same way that you're not going to use...
So desktop, so one server.
Even Ubuntu has managed to split it into at least two, so you've got Ubuntu and Ubuntu Server as two separate things. And they both have the same name, so maybe they don't count as different distros, but actually they are.
It's the same packages. You can easily turn the desktop into...
Ways. Yeah, okay. You've got X installed on, X is installed on all of these things. So are they the same? You have 200 distros that all have the same packages.
Okay.
Sorry, Chris hasn't taken his medicine today. Just one tiny point. The thing I love about Linux is that so much of the underlying system is the same, right? So most of the distros on the 200 distros, they're all sharing many of the same components. And to me, it's like choice is a great thing. And fundamentally, this is never going to change. We're always going to have all these distributions. We're never ever going to all agree on one thing. But what happens, as we've seen with Ubuntu and Fedora and OpenSUSE and things like that, is people flock around things that work for them. Like, Chris, you want a server operating system, so you pick something that works for you. I want a desktop operating system, I pick something that works for me. And I don't think we'll ever be able to solve the problem of spreading ourselves too thin. But it's fundamentally not too much of a problem, because many of the packages are upstream and are the same thing anyway. So...
Okay, yeah. Good point. There was a hand up at the back, gentleman in the red T-shirt.
I think the competition of distributions is a good thing for the progress of features, but I think that they should operate, you know, work closer together to produce the base operating environment, like United Linux was trying to do several years ago, and maybe the distros can focus more on what they provide to the end user in the way of applications that are included, end user experience.
Isn't that difficult because some of them want like, for example, there are certain kernel patches in one that aren't in another, and that's very low level and very difficult to get the two entirely separate distributions same at the core level if they've got fundamentally different decisions about which kernel patches are going to go in.
Yeah, but again, I mean, you need that sort of similarity at the core level so that when, say, a third-party vendor creates something for Linux, that they'll then work across the distributions without any problem. Mm. It's like the fact that we've got two completely different package management systems, RPM and DEB, across the unit. And then, yeah, you've got all the different ones, you know, and then just straight TAR-GZs. If we were to then just focus on a single package management system as well, so that then when it comes to non-techie users using everything, it's the same across all the board. It just might look a little bit different, and the desktop environment's a little bit different, but underneath everything's pretty much the same. A third-party developer comes in, wants to develop an application, they'll be guaranteed that the same libraries are there in the same place, and they don't have to think, right, I want to create something, I'm going to have to create a version for Red Hat based systems, for Debian based systems, and then all of those other weird little ones.
So
it's controversial, but not me.
If there is a need for this consistency, why did United Linux not really take off?
Ego. It was each people obsessed with their own way, and then it just, they didn't want to change, and it fell apart, from what I could see.
Isn't that what the Linux standards base is designed to do anyway?
Yeah, but that only goes so far. You need to take it up to because it's become a much more complicated system now with everything else operating on it. Something like the Linux standard base should then be taken higher to define everything that's provided, and this is how it operates.
Mm.
Mm. Okay, good stuff. There's a couple more hands up. Chris has got his
handy.
Hand up.
No. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Whichever way. Oh. Okay.
Hi.
Hi.
How's it going?
Hello.
Yeah.
Right. Welcome
it's
to Live Radio.
It looks this, isn't it?
I just wanted to say, I think the diversity of all these distributions is pretty essential to keeping it interesting for everybody. However, I do take the point that the problem with having so many distributions is that ultimately thousands of people are working on exactly the same problems at the same time. Mm. So I guess really it comes down to the efficiency of patches going upstream.
That is all. Duplication of effort.
I imagine that's what part of Popey's point is. Mm.
It's the people working on it, but and also the promotion, the advocacy, and when you stand next to someone and have to explain what free software is and what Linux is, and they go, "All right, give me a CD," and it's like, "Well, okay, have one of these many hundreds of different types of CDs."
He does actually have a coat with them in.
He'll be in the park later if you want.
Okay, that is all.
Let's go to Andy. Andy in the end here.
On the end, in blue.
what you're saying, Andy.
So you talk about people spreading themselves too thin, but the people you're talking about are the developers.
Not necessarily. That's
well, some. There's developers and there's distributions. Do you not think that it's pointless telling developers what to work on and it's pointless telling distributions what to release? In reality, isn't the best approach to do something like what Mark Shuttleworth and others were talking about and synchronize the major releases of the major distributions to the same schedule so that everybody knows what's in it and what version it is and it's easy to support and you can fix the bugs?
I wasn't thinking of it from that point of view. I was more thinking of it from the advocacy point of view. When you're standing on a street corner giving out CDs on Software Freedom Day, as we have.
As Alan often does.
Right. Yeah, as I do, you know, standing there handing out CDs. And there's, it just so happens that event's sponsored by Canonical, so we're giving out Ubuntu CDs. But it could have been anything. And any number of those events could have been giving out different CDs. And are we giving out a mixed message, or would it just be more efficient for us to concentrate on one?
Is that really a problem? Like, I don't think that's a problem.
It's confusing for end users.
I don't think so, because the thing that they get first is, like, once they get what Linux is, it's much more harder to explain, for example, what free software is.
Yeah, but that's
like most people get that Linux is that there's like different Linux distributions.
No, but they're not interested. They're not interested.
They don't care. I don't think they do. Not in the general public.
You need to give one disk to the non-Linux user. So if you give them three,
I would just give them one. You know,
which
just
one?
Give them the. I don't know. You give them the Ubuntu CD, and I give them a Fedora CD. Like
that's just two people giving out two CDs. Scale that up, 100 people. Are they all giving out 100 different CDs? No, they're not, because there's a smaller number. But it's still spreading that advocacy thing.
But why does that matter? Because it's not
my
like
point.
I agree with Fab completely. Because it's not like if somebody goes to buy a TV and then there's 20 different types of TVs, they're not all going to go, this is too confusing, I can't watch TV.
No, but they do go. People go into shops and they look at all those tellies and they
But I mean, if all these things had roughly the same versions of the same types of software and everybody knew and it just worked, then they'd pick the one they liked the best. They wouldn't go, oh, my sound doesn't work, I'm going to switch to, I don't know, Satanic Ubuntu. Maybe it will then.
I wonder how many people have taken their TV back because they bought it and it didn't actually do what they thought it was going to do.
There's a couple of people on Twitter in that light have said like the whole IPM deb thing, because that would be a problem if you were giving a package to somebody else to install because you thought it was good, then they can't install it because it's an IPM when it needs to be deb or whatever.
Yeah, okay. That's exactly what I was just about to say. Yeah, the TV thing, all well and good, but you go to the Skype website, since I mentioned it earlier, and it says download Skype for Windows, download Skype for Mac, download for Linux, and there's 40 different download links.
Yeah.
How many people would complain if they bought a telly and then it turns out that it doesn't receive BBC One because you've got the wrong telly? That's the situation we're in. You go to the Skype website and you have to care whether you're running 32-bit Ubuntu or 64-bit Ubuntu or 32-bit Fedora or 64-bit Fedora or Tiny Sofa Linux or something.
Or whatever the
or AMD 64,
I
don't care!
Yeah.
And exactly the same thing for the Amazon MP3 download service. You know, there's a great Firefox plugin, but it's only 32-bit and it's only some versions of Ubuntu. And as an institution, they have to pay extra development money to support more distros. Which distros do they choose? There's a whole heap of questions that essentially as a commercial organisation we're going to have difficulty getting support for them because of the fragmentation in the Linux community. I'm seeing lots and lots of heads. I like that. Okay, there's a mic coming around to the gentleman on the end there.
Is it just
Chris again?
Hi, Chris. I just wanted to make the quick point that there seems to be two very different types of distributions that you get out there. You've got your respins, which is basically Ubuntu with a different colour, different set of packages. That seems fine, that's convenient for people if they want to say, oh, you know, I'm, you know, if they want to go and show off Satanic Ubuntu to their Satanic friends, it's a great way to get people into Linux.
To Satan, sorry.
But on the other side, obviously, you've got different distributions that do things quite significantly differently at a lower level. It's not just a different set of packages, a different theme, it's, you know, significant changes. And is it worth taking that into consideration? Do we not care about the respins? I mean, a lot of people have mentioned respins, but I don't see them as much of a threat if they're all relying on the same kernel operating system.
But some of the respins get a lot of attention, like Ubuntu Studio, like Linux Mint, for example, which, you know, at first glance is a different colour. And then when you look a little bit deeply, okay, it's got a couple of extra packages.
No, I would argue that.
But
Linux Mint's more than just a different colour Ubuntu. They've got their own developed things in there. They've got the Mint updater, which is different to the Ubuntu updater. They've got their own backup solution. They've got, like, All right, they're not huge things, but they are tools.
So why don't they contribute those upstream?
I don't know. I don't make Linux Mint. Don't ask me. I'm just saying it's not Ubuntu.
That's what I mean. It's
green.
Spreading it thin. If they contribute those upstream, Ubuntu could contribute all of theirs upstream to Debian and everything.
But I mean, it's not so big of a problem because they're basically all compatible. Like I've never run into like running Mint. I've never clicked on a link for like an Ubuntu package and it didn't work.
Mm.
Well, I mean, if you've got a set of packages that significantly improves the user experience for certain people, it makes sense if it's easy, if it's just a one-click thing to do a respin.
Yeah.
It makes perfect sense to do that. If it takes a lot of time and energy to do a respin, it's probably not worth that kind of thing. But if you've got your packages available as a repository for the base operating system, which I'd hope a lot of these respins do, and such like that, there's not really so much of a problem with that kind of thing. Would you agree?
Okay.
Sorry, we're all laughing at the Twitter.
Pickle has a comment to make.
Read out Pickle's comment then.
Ogkamp seems to be advocating reducing the freedom to fork distributions for niche markets.
Are we?
That was Popey, no. I thought.
Okay.
That's all Popey.
Popey was
okay, it was me.
Right, comment there.
The point about software vendors like Skype or Opera having to provide loads of different package formats for different distros. I can't see it being that difficult for package management systems to facilitate those companies producing hybrid packages that actually include all of the specific bits for DEBs or RPMs in a single package.
Mm. There's been a few attempts to make unified package systems. And
I'm not quite talking about something like PackageKit. I don't think I mean PackageKit. The other funny ones. I mean something that actually is a DEB and an RPM package at the same time.
Like
Universal Binaries.
Interesting. Okay, we'll have one more comment over here, and then we'll wrap it up.
We'll have to move on. I think, if only to please Aid. I don't know where he is. I can't see him.
He's over there, hiding behind a pillar.
I can't see the bald. Oh, there we go. There it is.
Yes, sir.
It's a very quick point. I think we have to prioritise this. I don't think GWB is important. I don't think your world of goo is important, that it operates completely cross-platform across every single distribution. But online banking, education software, those sorts of things got to work across all the distributions because we can't control which is going to end up on anybody's desktop. We just have to make sure that the important applications, the one that everybody needs to use, like, as I say, online banking, education, those things must work.
But do you not see how that is what perpetuates the split? Is because that's what you think think people need. If you ask my daughter, she couldn't give a monkey's about online banking. Yeah. She would like World of Goo. You know.
I've rethought that. I really do need World of Goo to work. Sorry, man.
I'm glad we've come to everybody that out.
World of Goo.
Buy a Nintendo Wii.
Okay.
Not a lovely open source Nintendo Wii.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. That about wraps up that. And that wraps up our second segment.
So we got some other stuff to talk about, though. We need to talk about the whole Ogkamp thing. How's it gone? Have people enjoyed it?
Have you had a good day?
Has it been worth it?
Okay.
It's a yes thing. Okay.
One of the scary things about doing a bar camp is that we have an empty grid at the beginning of the day, and it's fantastic to see everybody has put, well, not everybody, but a lot of people have put talks and filled in the gaps on the schedule and given some really interesting talks. So thank you for coming along and participating in the spirit of bar camp and bringing things to show and tell and do. The pig thing apparently was brilliant.
I wanted to see that as well.
The pig thing.
It ruled.
Pig analysis or something like that, was it?
Pig analysis. Yes.
Fab now knows far more about himself than he did before.
And yes. Pigs. Really? And pigs.
So, quick shout out. Who saw what today that really interested them? What are they going to take away from today?
Twittering House.
Excellent.
That was cool. Andy? That was really cool.
Is that it? Anybody else enjoy anything else?
Pokebook.
Jesus. There's the rage.
John's just had a cardiac at the back there.
Which reminds me, we should go through our sponsors later as well.
Because this wouldn't have happened without the list of sponsors that I didn't have time to write down. So let's
right.
Get a mug.
Most of them are on a mug.
Look on the mug. There you go. I knew there was a point to those mugs.
So let's start with PokeBook.
I hope you'll have dozens more users on your site.
It's the most expensive practical joke in the world.
Yeah. Viglin for providing the NPCs that we gave away.
Yeah.
Bitfolk Andy over here. Linux Emporium.
Yeah.
Where are the Linux Emporium guys?
Canonical.
Good old Canonical. Less clapping for Canonical, I know.
And Open Learning Center. Andy.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Open Learning Center.
And guys. Finally, Linux Format Media Partners.
Media Partners.
And Tinker.
Who were related to Tinker.
Who weren't on the mud.
Yes.
Yeah. But yes, there we go. That's great. Thank you very much.
So what's the plan?
I don't know. A hotel bar sounds good to me. So in about half an hour.
Am I going to get shot for asking this question? I know this all came up like yesterday.
Well,
we'll find out when I asked it, I suppose, if I get shot.
Go on.
Do you think we should do this again? Would you like to come back? I'm now really unpopular over here, but quite popular over there. So I'm going over there.
He's off. See, the thing is, it's harder than it looks.
Yeah. I'm not just, you know.
My respect for the four guys in the middle, which previously was at rock bottom, is is now very slightly higher. But yeah, I've had a great day, actually. It's been really enjoyable, and I hope you had too. Let's discuss something next year.
Okay, yeah.
Let us know what you want to see.
Yes, and genuinely, feedback, positives, negatives. I mean, we came to this hotel because it's the official hotel for Lug Radio Live, so people will be here
to get out
of bed and come here.
So we couldn't find a hotel with more stairs. That was the problem. We did try, but this was the only one with no lift and enough stairs that we needed.
But yes, so genuinely, feedback, what did work, what didn't work. Send us some emails and stuff afterwards when you get home. We've had a bit of a think. We'd be really interested to hear what you think.
Yeah, anything about the venue, the content, enough rooms, not enough rooms. You know, what else?
Not enough power sockets.
Yeah.
No Wi-Fi.
Wi-Fi.
Yes, we have Wi-Fi in all of the hotel, they told me. Yes,
right. In all of the hotel.
In all of the hotel. One access point in the middle of floor two, probably.
Yeah. Cool. But nobody knows where it is, apparently. No. Anyway.
Are we done?
So I think we should say thank you to everyone for coming, because I'm amazed at how many people are here.
Mad fools.
Yeah. When we decided to do this, there was a bit of, like, some people were saying, oh, God, there'll only be 20 people, what will happen? But it's turned out brilliant, and that's mainly down to all of you people coming along. Yeah.
And Lug Radio Live.
Yeah,
well, and Lug Radio. Convenient that they were nearby. I mean, they were very lucky of them to have their event near ours.
It was lucky that they warmed up a bit for us, yeah. I suppose.
That's fine.
They're a support act now, you realise.
Yes. Yeah. Fancy.
Okay, right, whose music are we going to play on the way out?
Jono's World of Metal.
The Free Software song, of course.
No, we're not playing that, are we? Are you kidding me?
It's your laptop. If you've got the Free Software song on your laptop.
I haven't. I'm not playing it.
Good. That's all right. I'll play your
thing. I don't want to upset anyone, but it's awful.
Play theirs.
I like the sentiment, I just don't like the song.
Thank you very much for coming, and maybe we'll see you next year.
Yeah.
See you in the bar.
Thank you. One other quick thing before we finish. Does anyone know the Liverpool score?
We've won!
Fantastic. I'll see you in the bar then.